This is one that's often heard during Advent and Christmas. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in a pitch dark land, light has dawned. You have made the nation great. You have increased its joy. They rejoiced before you as with joy at the harvest, as those who divide plunder rejoice. As on the day of Midian, you shattered the yoke that burdened them, the staff on their shoulders, and the rod of their oppressors. Because every boot of the thundering warriors and every garment rolled in blood will be burned, fuel for the fire. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be vast authority and endless peace for David's throne and for his kingdom. There will be vast authority and endless peace, establishing and sustaining it with justice and righteousness now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of heavenly forces will do this. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God that dwells within us. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. So my sermon title today is called The Audacity of God. So how many of you remember former President Obama's book, The Audacity of Hope? Well, anyway, he wrote a book several years ago called The Audacity of Hope. And although I haven't read it, I've read excerpts and heard excerpts from it. And I wondered, well, what is so audacious about hope? But he was telling the story of having hope, daring and risking to have hope in an economic downturn, in a time of troubles. We kind of have the same thing now in a lot of ways. But first, let me define audacity. A willingness to take bold risk. A willingness to take bold risks. Or boldness in daring, especially with confident or even arrogant disregard for personal safety, conventional thought, or other restrictions. I like that, a willingness to take bold risk. Because to me, that defines our God. That defines our God from the beginning of creation to up to today. God has this quality of audacity. He has taken bold risk in everything that God has done. Now, I know that there is this tension between being a Christian and being that maybe believing that God created the world, the cosmos, in 7 days, 6 days, and rested on the seventh, or there was a Big Bang theory. I personally don't think there's necessarily a tension between those, because God, we believe that God existed before anything existed. God always has been. And even if you believe scientifically the Big Bang theory, something, some power, some being, something totally unimaginable to our human brains had to get that started. Somebody had to make those gases that exploded, right? So whether you believe it happened in 7 days, or you believe the earth was created in millions and billions of years, God is still at the foundation of creation. That was a bold risk, to take this nothingness or this mass of gases and blow it up and make our cosmos and each of us in it. God took a risk when he got irritated with the world as it was after Adam and Eve had been thrown out of the garden. And people just wouldn't believe in this God, wouldn't follow God's commands. Although there's really very little written in Scripture about the time between Adam and Eve and Noah, just a few chapters. But God took a risk when he sent a flood, when he asked a man named Noah to build an ark in the middle of the desert. And believed, God took a risk and believed in Noah, believed in his family, believed that afterwards humanity could turn to God again. God took a risk when he called Abram from his homeland to move with Sarah to a brand new place. God took a risk when he said to Abraham, you're going to have kids. I don't care how old you are, you're going to have kids. And each one of your children is going to be multiplied into great nations. One of those children was Ishmael, born of the enslaved enslaved maid to Sarah. Her name was Hagar. But listen to these words from Genesis 16:12, and this is said to Hagar by the angel of the Lord. I will so greatly multiply your offspring that they cannot be counted for multitude. Now that is said to Ishmael. How much do we as Christians ever learn about Hagar and Ishmael? Not much. But God promised Hagar that Ishmael would become a great multitude also. And God promised Abraham and Sarah that. And Sarah's like, oh yeah, right, But Sarah had a child, Isaac. God took a risk. God had audacity in believing in these people he had created. God took a risk when Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt, and yet Joseph became part of the powerful people under the Pharaoh in Egypt. God took a risk when he chose Moses, though, to lead those people out of slavery. Moses, this kid who was found floating in a river, right? What was God up to? God took a risk when he chose Moses and Aaron and Miriam, his sister. Don't forget about that. There was a woman involved here. God took a risk when he chose these to lead the Israelites out of slavery. God took a risk when he left them in the wilderness. God took a risk when he called Moses to the mountain to give him the Ten Commandments, to give him the laws for, this is the way I have created for you, your people, this whole world to live in community. God said, I want my people, those I have created, to live in community, in harmony and peace. God took a risk when he appointed judges to rule the people, the Hebrews, that had gotten into the promised land, including a female judge named Deborah. Yet the people still didn't obey God's commands. They wanted a king. They wanted to be like the other countries. So God took a risk. God appointed Saul king. And then God chose David, a know-nothing, little, tiny boy, probably, living with sheep. He was a shepherd. And everybody said, God, no, this cannot be. God cannot choose this guy, David, to be the leader of our kingdom. But God did. God took a risk, an audacious, audacious risk. God took a risk when he appointed Solomon. And Solomon finally built the temple in Jerusalem. The people still didn't always follow God. They turned to other gods. Israel fell apart and became two kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Even through the prophets' warnings, when there were no kings anymore, the prophets came and warned the kings, don't forget your God, don't forget your God. Bad things will happen to you. And they ended up in exile in Babylon. God still took a risk. God led Cyrus the king of Persia, to overthrow the Babylonians and tell the Hebrews, the Israelites, they could move back to Jerusalem. God took a risk. People still didn't follow God. And then the Romans came. And then came God's most audacious gift. He sent his very son, Jesus. There was the most audacious gift of love that anyone could give, and it came from their God. God does not give up on God's people. God never has, and God never will. We can be as audacious as God is. We can have the audacity of hope. We can have the audacity of peace. We can have the audacity of joy and the audacity of love. Today we are celebrating that love. We are celebrating this great audacious love that God took a risk in doing by sending his only son to become human. Our God is different from Greek mythology or Roman mythology or other mythologies. Now I want to stop here and make a point. There are other gods, or there were other gods, and they are mentioned in Scripture. But our God is audacious enough to send his son to come and live as a human being and set an example for people, for humanity, on how to live in community, how to have hope in the midst of 2 years of quarantine because of COVID, how to have peace even when the city of Jesus' birth is under fire, how to have joy even when our friends and our loved ones are ill or are suffering from economic problems or whatever. We can have the audacity of love in this world. We can learn to love our neighbor even when our politics split us apart. The audacity of God, the bold risk-taking of God, is being celebrated once again today around the world. And even in Bethlehem, despite the cancellation of all of the Christmas services, even there are quiet celebrations still celebrating Jesus' birth. That is the audacity of God. That is bold risk-taking. May we all be audacious in this coming year, as we remember the audacity of our God and of Jesus and follow their example. Amen.